Welcome to the Market Mystics Podcast. I'm Joshua.
I'm Kim. Let's dive in. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Josh, what are you drinking today?
A lemon lime Waterloo sparkling water.
I love that one. Can I just say, I think Waterloo is my favorite, like, seltzer water brand.
I would have to agree at this point.
I say that, except, you know what? Perrier really, like, ranks up there, but that feels extra bougie. Like, if I want to spend a pretty penny, then I'll get Perrier. But, like, for my normal 364 days out of the year kind of water, I really love Waterloo.
Yeah, it's so good. I know I've had it like a couple times before, but it wasn't my go-to. And then, I don't know. I picked up a pack at Costco the other day. Well, I guess probably a couple months ago. And now it's like, the one I get all the time. Like, so it's really good. It has really good flavor.
I completely agree. I am drinking today something new, and this is in no way sponsored by this brand, but it's Olipop. Have you had it?
I have had Olipop.
You like
it? I call it Olipoop because it's a prebiotic.
I know, that's what I'm soda. Excited about for it.
I know.
And I had to run to Target because I had to get some printer paper, and it's the closest store by far to my office. And I was like, I'm going to get something to drink. And I was looking at the kombucha. And then I was like, ooh, I might get one of those. And I was going to try the strawberry vanilla, but they had cream soda. And cream soda is my very favorite soda in the world.
That's awesome. Do you like it? They have kind of a...
I haven't tried it yet. This is world premiere.
Oh my gosh. They have kind of a different like aftertaste because of the prebiotics, but they have really good flavor generally.
I like it a lot.
Perfect.
A lot. And I was inspecting the ingredients. This is okay. You guys just bear with us. This is just me being real life. Okay. I was inspecting the ingredients and I like all the ingredients in it, and it's non-GMO and they're just speaking my language. Like everything about this product speaks my language.
That's amazing. I've had a few different ones, but specifically the root beer I really enjoy. Yeah.
I wouldn't typically choose root beer in any circumstance, unless I was having a float.
That's fair. I really like root beer though.
So. I don't dislike it. It's just not in my top five.
Sure.
Yeah. So maybe I'll try it because you like it, but this cream soda is delicious.
It's amazing. I mean, go with what you like. You don't have to like the same thing.
I need to contact these people and be like, hey, listen.
We just did a 2-minute segment on our show about you. You have sold at least two of them because of this episode.
I think for sure. Like one, two.
One, two.
Yeah. Okay, moving on. Josh, what are we talking about today?
So I feel like we sort of touched on this the other day, but there's been... maybe we just touched on it in personal conversation, I don't remember, but kind of just this, like, there has been a handful of more well-known people who have stepped into faith, specifically Christianity. And not all in the same denomination, but like, you know, specifically comes to mind is like, and this was maybe a year or more ago, but like Kat Von D very publicly got baptized and moved to a small town and attends a little local Baptist church. And, and then just this week, Russell Brand got baptized, and I think he attends a Catholic church. I assume so
based on the video I saw, but I don't actually know.
Yeah. And so like, those are two that like immediately pop into my mind. But there's just like, I feel like there's a pull towards sort of that. And we've talked about it before, like an awakening that's going on. Mm-hmm. But I just think it's something that's curious, and it's something that's worth like paying attention to. And so in the video on YouTube, there's several videos where he talks about it, but in the video on YouTube where Russell Brand's talking about it, he said, there's a desire to seek a set of values not derived from the materialistic culture that we live in. And I think that's it. Like forever people have said, like, I just know there's something more. Mm-hmm. But yet we still have kind of been caught up in the consumerism and like the keeping up with the Joneses type mentality. And that is like, especially because like the US is experiencing like noticeable inflation in a short enough time period that like makes it noticeable. And so like, you know, we've had inflation forever, but like, it's been gradual enough that I think it hasn't been as apparent. And since 4 years ago, like it's been so accelerated that now it's like, oh, well, like I remember just a little bit ago when I was buying this and it was cheaper. And so
right.
I think that's like really putting a damper in consumerism, because people are like, oh, like I actually can't keep up anymore. Like it's impossible. And so they're seeking something else. And I think it's interesting that they're seeking, like, you know, he says like seeking a set of values that doesn't have anything to do with materialism.
Yeah.
Like that's pretty profound.
Sure. I suppose I was both really surprised and really not surprised to see that he had converted to Christianity. Mm-hmm. I love the video that came out at the time that we're recording this. It came out yesterday, and he talked about, he's like trying to solve all these problems. And he's like, in my 24 hours of being a Christian, I can assure you that I can solve all these problems. No, I can't. Yeah. And I loved that. But I'm also like, the reason I say I'm surprised and I'm not surprised is because he's been fairly resistant to Christianity in some of the content he's put out. Mm-hmm. But also I know that he's like such a big voice and kind of the awakening that's happening. Like we talk about this probably more than we should. But he's had this voice in it. Like he's seeing things that are there that I only know of people who are really tuned in to God who are seeing those things. And so that's why I'm not surprised, is because mm-hmm. he's been so deeply spiritual, whether he knew it or not. Like he's speaking some of these truths that are coming out. But maybe that's also why he converted. You know, is because he's starting to see some of those truths and they're not coming from the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
And sometimes when you see supernatural things, you have no choice but to admit that something else exists.
Yeah. I think about him because he makes a statement in that video that the presence of Christ became unavoidable and necessary in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And he also addresses like the scandal within the Catholic Church and
right.
the like whether it's sexual scandal or whether it is like holy wars that have happened, and you know, can you really support a system that does that? And the thing that I respect about him is I think he's someone who has explored multiple religions mm-hmm. and then was like, yeah, I actually believe in more of what this says than anything else, and so this is what I'm picking.
Yeah.
There's someone else who I enjoy on YouTube, I really haven't watched a lot of their videos, but like in one of them, they make the comment that they don't currently attend any physical church. They don't necessarily align with any religion per se, but they have experienced Christ and have over many years found the core principles that are written in the Bible to be true throughout their life. And I think that that's like, you know, we talk about this all the time, but what Jesus did when he came was strip away all of the religious additions that people had made to the Torah and just say, you've missed it. This little piece is the point. Love your neighbor, love yourself, love God, do good. Like, you know, he stripped it down to basic principles. And like, I think that's where we're at now, is like a lot of religious organizations have added so much of their interpretation of how to do Christianity that it just gets really messy.
Yeah.
But yet there's something in it where these people who've been outside the system are searching for something and finding it.
Yeah.
In that place. He also makes the comment, when he was young, he was just seeking a hedonistic, fun lifestyle and was living it. Like, he was living exactly how he wanted to live. But like, found that that was hollow. There wasn't anything there. And like, I think that's, you know, that's a principle in the Bible, but it's like something that we, I think everyone has experienced, like, this, the need or the desire to live for something greater than you are. That makes such a big difference in just how you look at things.
Right. Yeah. I found myself thinking, like, further on in the video, it's not very long, just so you know, like, if you want to go watch it, I think it's a 15-minute video. It's not long at all.
Yeah.
There are some things that he was talking about near the end, and there are some things in the video, like some symbolism, that my religious Christianity wanted to say, oh, but Russell, you're a Christian now, you can't align with these things.
Mm.
And I had to go, Kim, stop. Like, these are the boxes you've been working to like break down. Why are you now expecting that from someone who's a new Christian? And really put, it really put me in check. But I also, I hope within everything that I have that he doesn't get too caught up within the religion, but he allows himself to still be free in faith. Mm. Because I think the freedom in faith is where you really see life happen within Christianity. I think sometimes the, I don't have a word better for it than the religion of it can sometimes stifle that fire that gets lit up. You know what I mean? And so I, at the end of it all, I'm just like so hopeful for him. And like, I really hope he has very real encounters with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit and with the Father. And I hope that he continues on kind of how he has been spiritually before and kind of free and open to things. Not that I want him to go into witchcraft or anything crazy like that. That's not what it is. Mm-hmm. But I also think, again, there are mysteries to be found. Yeah. And there are things to be revealed and to be open, like he has been in this awakening thing. I think it's a really beautiful thing. you know? And so I really hope, within all of my hoping, that he doesn't get tied down or people don't try to tie him down with that, you know?
I tend to think, because of just his life experiences, that he has enough personal, like, he has enough in the bank to know this is what I want and this is what I don't want. This is what I'm open to, this is what I'm not open to. I saw life in this, I didn't see life in this. Sure. And so, like, I have hope that he doesn't get caught in the religion piece of it. But yeah, I don't know. You know, we'll see in 5 or 10 years. Like, I know there have been like other big celebrities that have professed their faith, and then a year later, you know, there's videos of them seemingly unchanged in life. And so, does that happen? Sure. But that happens to non-celebrities too. They just don't have cameras shoved in their face every day.
It's true. Have you seen our episodes that are marked E for explicit?
That's true. It's true.
Like, there are things that happen that don't necessarily dictate whether your faith is healthy, I think.
Yeah. There's a book series that I just finished the series, and I really enjoyed the series. I'm looking to see exactly what the name of it is called. It is the Legends of the Guardian Keen series by Karen Hancock.
Of the Guardian King?
Keen. Yeah. I think that is what the whole series is called. It's a four part series. It's about kind of battle between good and evil. Like, it's generally that's what most things are about, but it has an interesting way of doing that, because in the book, and this is a small spoiler, if anyone wants to read it, you can just skip maybe 2 minutes. but in that, the evil is actually the religious system that is the like church of the country. And they have all this formality and all these rules, and on the outside are seemingly good, but then the closer you get, the more evil and controlling, and they're actually influenced by the darkness. But the other side of that, the other side of that coin, or the other people in it, are the ones who are said to have been controlled by the shadow, are these people who accept God. They get this big golden shield that just appears on their chest. But then many of them get what they call the curd. And it's like a oozing that comes around their eyes, and they kind of go crazy and lose their mind. And so it's like, oh yeah, that's for sure the evil people. But this is like, it's so interesting, because in that book, the people who get the shield are actually the ones who are truly following. But when they get the shield and then they ignore everything and they totally ignore the light within them, it allows like that stuff to build up and come out of their system, because even though at one point of time they had taken the shield to follow the true God, they totally ignore it all. Mm-hmm. And so it makes them look like the evil people, even though they were originally following the right one. And I'm like, man, that I feel like that happens so often in society, where it's like you have this big church system who doesn't have any relationship at all, and then you have this smaller group of people who actually have relationship, And then you have a group of people who at one point of time had relationship, but fell away. And that makes the rest of it look bad.
Yeah.
And I think my thought on how it connects with like Russell is just like, he's been on the outside looking in, and he's like, no, actually I see the life in that, even though you've tried to convince me the light wasn't in that. Mm-hmm. And are there evil people inside the church system? For sure. Are there horrible things that happen within the church system? For sure. But does that mean that that system was actually totally evil? Or the people are totally evil? No, I don't think it does. I think it's just the difference between those who are truly following the light or God and those who aren't.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I think that's good. And I don't know. I guess I just also, I don't know how to say this terribly well. I just want us to stop trying to label people sinners.
Yeah.
Like, I think we all mess up from time to time. And if every time we messed up, we had to start back at zero, I think our faith would be a lot more shallow than it actually is.
Mm.
And like you were talking about these celebrities who have like professed the faith and then it comes out later that they seem to have fallen away. Well, has it just been edited that way? Are people just taking the worst that they can find and putting it out there to say how flimsy their faith was? Like, I think we're not giving people enough credit to be able to hold something, mess up, and but still be holding it. I don't know. I guess that's my big beef with that. And I've gotten to the point where I don't really trust normal media. You know what I mean? Like, in fact, if it comes out in normal media, I'm going to be more skeptical of it than if I like hear it through the grapevine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know if TMZ comes out and says Justin Bieber did XYZ. I'm like, did he?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I totally get that.
Not that he couldn't have, but I'm also not here to like decide whether you are condemned or not. Like, this is ridiculous, you know? I'm just going to get on a soapbox for a real quick second. I also think that when we profess our faith and our sins have been wiped away as far as the East is from the West, that just because you sin doesn't then make you a sinner again. Like, do you take that identity back on and why?
Mm.
Like, how many times, like, could you just accept the gift and then keep it? And not continue sinning because you think it's fun and you're just covered, but know that sometimes you take two steps forward and one step back. And can we give ourselves grace for that? And can we give others grace for that too? There's my soapbox moment.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's it. Like, you know, I've been so struck lately by the like, you know, don't call out the sliver in your brother's eye until you deal with the plank in your own. And I'm just like, who am I in general to judge society? And, you know, the Bible also talks about like how we judge is how we are judged.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I don't actually think that even that or the judge not lest ye be judged, I don't think that's actually telling you not to judge or have an opinion. I think that's telling you be super aware of what you're judging, because the way you judge a situation is the way you are judged. And if you're a righteous judge of a situation, then you are judged righteously as well.
This is so true. You know what I think of? Okay, I was just thinking, can we judge with grace?
Hmm.
That's what our Father does.
Right.
Right.
And judging is literally just like deciding something about an opinion, about a situation. Like, it's, we hear the word judge and we in my mind, immediately associates it with condemnation.
Right.
But you could be judging it to life. You could look at it and be like, wow, that situation has so much life in it.
Exactly.
That's a judgment of the situation.
I completely agree. I think about Jesus and the woman who was to be stoned. Mm. Wasn't she in a, she was the adulterer, mm-hmm. right? And how he went and like, he judged with grace. He judged to life,
mm-hmm.
right? And are we not supposed to follow in his footsteps? Is he not the first of many? Are we not also sons of God on this earth? Like,
yeah,
doing our Father's business, are we also not supposed to do what we see the Father doing? And is that not what he does with us? So why are we trying to judge other people to death? It's crazy.
I know. Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think personally, like, I look at that and I'm like, I don't want to be judged nearly as critically as I judge most things. And so, like, even just like in normal life, and I like, I love to yell at cars when they do silly stuff on the road.
Do you yell at cars or the drivers?
It just depends on the day. but I'm like, man, is that really how I want? Do I want people to be nitpicking like every little mistake I make while I drive? Like, I think it's wild. Like, to when you think about life like that, it's like, oh, like there's so much that I'm so harsh on and I don't want that. Wouldn't I like to have a little bit of grace in that situation?
Right. Right. I wonder, what if we shifted some things, like, you know, like traffic that annoys you, or the dishwasher that doesn't work, or whatever. Sure. It is that you might be not happy with. What if we just like actively decided to shift our mind and bless and not curse? You know what I mean? Not even that you're cursing, but you know, like, instead of like, oh, why don't you get out of my way, be like, bless you, I hope that you have full life, and then see what comes back to you.
Yeah,
because yeah. There's a trade that's being made.
Well, and it every situation, like, I fully believe we have total control over what we choose to believe about a situation. Even like, even if your initial response is anger, like, that's learned. I would argue that that's not,
I agree, but
that ouch. Isn't, that's not just your, that's not just what happened. That's a learned response. And if you started thinking differently about every situation and like laughing at the car that cut you off, then, you know, maybe it's 4 months, maybe it's 6 months, maybe it's a year later of you intentionally laughing at that situation, that pretty soon you just naturally do that. And then that's your natural response. Like, we think of things as like, oh, that's just who I am. Like, that was a situation that made me angry. It's like, no, you've trained your brain to say this set of circumstances means this chemical. It That's doesn't mean true. That it's the way it should be. And so when you're judging something, like, you're, the way you have trained your brain, the way you have judged your whole life is the way your brain responds. And that's changeable.
Josh, this is so good. It just, it makes me go back to this conversation that's been ongoing for the last, I don't know, 6-8 months about taking responsibility. Mm-hmm. And like, are you going to allow a situation to make you mad? Mm-hmm. You're letting this other thing dictate whether you're mad or not.
No.
What if you take the responsibility for being angry? What if you take the responsibility for how you react and then see how it can shift? Because do you actually want to be angry? That might be something to dig into too.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been in places where I'm like, no, I want to be mad right now. You know what I mean? Like, I have... Yeah. For a long time, I had a song that was like my mad song. So if yeah. I want to be mad, I'm going to put this song on and I'm just going to be mad and get that out. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Is that what you really want to be? And can you take a step back and take back that power and say, well, I'm not going to be angry right now because I don't want to be. This is my responsibility and how I react. Right? Oh, you made me mad. No, they didn't make you mad. You allowed yourself to get mad because of that. And if they made you mad, you need to take back that responsibility, because what else are other people making you do that you don't want to do?
I think that's such a, it's such a big thing. And it's so empowering to learn, but it's also like, it's not easy when you first start. We talk about this all the time. When you start taking sovereignty back, it's work. Like, it is a challenge.
It is.
But it is possible.
It's true. You kind of have to relearn it. Remember the whole thing, like, I need to relearn fun.
Yeah.
I also need to relearn how to take responsibility for some things. And I think a lot of us are in that place. But again, like I think we say about everything we ever talk about, like, awareness is kind of the first step.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Be aware of how you want to feel in a situation.
Exactly. And then make it a practice. Mm-hmm. And you can practice, and it's fine. And it's fine if sometimes you slip up. But the more you practice, the easier it will be. And then after a while, it will be your natural reaction.
It's fine if Russell Brand wants to practice Christianity, and it's fine if that sometimes he slips up.
Exactly.
Why don't we have grace for new believers? Why don't we have grace for old believers who've been in it for a long time?
Why don't we have grace for ourselves?
That's probably the biggest one.
Yeesh. Okay. This is good talk, Josh.
Love it.
Good stuff. It went somewhere I wasn't expecting, but I think there's a lot of life in this. For me, there is, for sure. I hope that you and whoever is listening also found something for them in it.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Thanks for being with us, guys.
Yep. See you next time. Hey, thanks for listening. Keep up with us along this journey by liking, subscribing, and becoming a member through YouTube.
Members get exclusive access to bonus content with our guests, deeper dives into topics, and a look into other projects. We're glad to have you here. See you next time.